What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Donna, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey, it's Footy Prime, and we're getting you set for the World Cup. It's just days away, everyone, and this is our official big World Cup preview show. But before we get to that, Wonga and Craig were very busy yesterday whoring the Footy Prime brand. And Wonga insisted that we talk about that shoot before we get into the World Cup here. So Wonga, what exactly happened?
So we were asked to partner with North Star Bets about creating a 90-minute stat holiday. So all of us Canadians who in our DNA love supporting Canadian national teams at these championships. So Craig shot a commercial yesterday. And like B said, I forgot that you guys are all professionals. He was fantastic. Other than his 1930s polyester blend tracksuit, he was fantastic. So Craig, kudos. You did Footy Prime proud. Hey,
where did he get that tracksuit? Was that Giant Tiger special? Yeah. If you went near a flame, that thing would have been gone in a second.
It was a nod to those old jerseys that he keeps talking about.
The score.
Were like the flag
jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
You should have seen the static electricity.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Wonger touched me once and I had these earplugs in and the electricity went right into my ear hole. It like literally just...
Did it make your hair stand on end?
Oh, he's such a...
Well, actually, it did. And she had to cut a couple strands off.
Craig, can you stand up for me? Because I think you're wearing the track pad.
So. Are you still wearing them?
I got the bottoms on right now.
Oh, dear.
Oh, look at those ball huggers.
Leo Burnett had some great writers, wrote a great script, but they went out and bought this tracksuit for Craig that was 90% polyester. Could have been a parachute. And literally, like Jimmy said, if it went near fire, it would have like lit you up like a bonfire, homie.
Yeah. It's an Eastern Bloc special.
So where's this ad gonna air and when?
It's going to be all over social media. So you'll see it on your Facebooks, your Instagrams, and our team is all going to record our little bits too. So look for us, Footy Prime, supporting the 90-minute stat holiday.
All right. Look forward to seeing that and hearing it.
It was fun. But I got to tell you, when I arrived, I get up. Is it Brampton? I don't know what they call it now or something. There's a naming, right? Brampton Soccer Center, right?
Yeah.
I get there and I think, okay, we're doing this little commercial. I get there and there's freaking cranes. There's lighting kits. There's 50 people everywhere. I am like, what the fuck have I got myself in here? Wonger didn't say anything. Like, this is like a full up, right? Well, I didn't realize they were actually making a series. You know that Orphan Black series? Well, that was going. Yeah. It was going on, and I thought it was me. I literally shit myself all the way to the building. I'm just like, holy fucking, what the hell? This is unbelievable.
I get it wasn't in. About you.
Luckily,
it wasn't about
you're
you.
Inside.
It was about Little Orphan Black.
No, it wasn't us at all. It was Orphan Black, the series. So that was kind of cool. But we had, there was 12 in the crew, I think, outside
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, there were about 15 people overall at the at the shoot for Craig. And he had a makeup person.
I was just
and they had a great craft table. Oh my God.
That's where you spent your day,
spectacular,
eh?
Craft table.
Hey, Stax, did they tell you to stop walking when they were filming because you were crinkling too much, making too much noise in that tracksuit?
Oh, there's the corduroy. It was all stuck to me. The static electricity was unbelievable.
Turning the lights on and off.
Yeah. repeated the old thing over and over and over from different locations, but it was it was good people though, eh? Wonger, great people.
Did it make Did it make you miss TV?
No, it made me not want to be an actor.
Fair.
I was thinking, wow, it's a lot of hurry up and wait, right? I mean,
you're really good though, Craig. Kudos, man. Thanks. You were spectacular.
Buddy. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro, is Craig. All right, let's get to this World Cup, shall we? Kicks off on Sunday, of course. We're going to go through a few questions here, both generic, general World Cup questions, and then get to some Canada stuff as well. So I want to just start by asking you guys, like, it's a Winter World Cup. It's different, very different to other World Cups. With summertime, you know, you experience it a different way. Will this affect your enjoyment, do you think, that we're going to be going into the Christmas season, the holiday season, and a World Cup's on at the same time? Or once the football begins and kicks off on Sunday, that will just take over everything, Craig?
I think that when it starts, guys, I think that we're going to be so excited and think, wow, this is unbelievable. We're into November, weather's crap, and we get to watch World Cup football day in, day out, wall to wall, top to bottom. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
I think there's actually a fear that we grow to like it in the winter. Honestly, right? Because look at the Premier League in the pandemic. Remember that season where they didn't play a single game, two matches at the same time? That every Premier League match across the weekend had its own time slot? That was great for that season, for that period, right? That's what this is going to be now. And I think as North Americans, right, Warner, with March Madness, like, we're kind of used to that. We're just like, let sports take over an entire workday for a period of the week, and let's just have at it. So,
B, I was actually thinking the exact same thing. You, Craig, and I have been doing March Madness you've been coming about 4 years now, but Craig and I have been doing for 20. Mm-hmm. And this just reminds me of like three or four games a day. This is exciting. I'm like, this is a month long. Who was that? What happened there?
Of course it was Craig.
It's not finished yet. What is it? Come fire alarm probably.
Oh no. Is that what it is? Your speakers in your building. Maybe your pants triggered it.
Put the vape too close to the tracksuit.
When the vape, the tracksuit, and the microphone are near, there's too much static electricity.
Yeah, well, if it keeps going on, just mute yourself and then jump in when you can. Yeah. Okay, let's do that. I think B makes a good point there. One thing about World Cups in the summer is great and all, but if you're stuck here and at home and you're watching it, and the weather's beautiful outside, and you're watching four games a day, you'd think, man, wouldn't mind being outside right now. Could always move the TV outside, I suppose. But haven't done that in the past. Whereas this, the weather's shit. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. It is going to be so different, though. I mean, the one thing that I love with the World Cup in the summer is just seeing everybody in the streets. The patios are packed. All the bars are putting the TVs outside, and everybody's in shorts and T-shirts. And we're not going to get that this year, are we? And it'd be so different as well when you think about the Southern Hemisphere now. It's reverse for them. They'll be doing it's summertime really for them.
That's right.
They'll be enjoying it. They'll be sitting on the patios and having a blast.
Australia's long run in the World Cup, you know, those patios will be packed right through to the final, you know.
Jimmy makes a really good point, though. I say this all the time, that Toronto is one of the best places in the world to be during a World Cup and a European Championships, because you can partake and celebrate with a team and people from everywhere, and you definitely are going to lose that'll be different. There'll still be parties, there'll still be bars packed, but it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same numbers either.
Do you think they're going to see that those patios, or not patios, those bars packed with Canadians who support, you know, England and Germany and Spain and Argentina? Are they now going to become Canadian fans? Are we going to see the sea of red across the cities in Canada? Or do you think, what do you really think? Do you think they're going to still revert back to, I'm still a Portugal fan, number one, but I'll also watch Canada? I'm kind of curious.
I don't think you'll see many jerseys in the streets, because it'll be covered with their parkas.
That's true.
And because they haven't been able to get them.
Well, there's that as well.
Yeah.
No, they're available now. I've seen a few.
It depends.
Canadian Tire special.
I think, Sharms, it depends on how you measure that. Like me, for example, if I was here doing events with you all, I would be as big a Canada fanboy as ever on match days, and I will be throughout the whole tournament. And when Canada play Portugal in the semifinals, I'm cheering for Canada. But on those match days where Portugal is playing and Canada is not, I look the same as I always do when Portugal plays. And I am a Portugal fan. I think you're going to have people like that.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose there will very much be a case of you have two teams in this World Cup.
And then there'll be millions of people, Canadians, that will be, you know, the armchair fans or even not even sports fans will tune in just because.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of experts out there pretty soon, boys.
I can't wait.
Experts.
Those Olympic experts that all of a sudden, Wonger, are the biggest, like, luge fan. You know what it is? He goes into that corner at this angle. And he just now to hear those people talk about Adekubi running up the mm-hmm. touchline. Oh, I can't wait.
B, I have to tell you, man, I love cheering for things I don't understand. So
that's why I catered it to you.
I'd watch Jimmy's darts. I'd watch snooker if it was national. Like if we had a national snooker.
Some
team.
Right now, by the way, UK.
I knew I had to include you in that conversation.
Very inclusive producer.
Yeah, it's great, by the way. You should check it out. All right. Well, moving on. You mentioned Portugal there, B. Now, like it or hate it, Messi and Ronaldo are still going to be, I think, the main figureheads as the World Cup begins. A lot of eyes on Ronaldo, especially, by the way. I'm not sure if you saw that little video with him and Bruno Fernandes today, which we can talk about a little bit later, another question. But Messi or Ronaldo, which player needs to win this World Cup the most for their legacy? Jimmy?
I would say Ronaldo, if he wins it, then he'd be just rubbing it in everybody's face, wouldn't he? Telling
awful,
everybody how great he was. You know, I can't get a game for Man United, but I can win a World Cup. But for me, I would like to see Messi win it, to be honest with you. Genuinely like to see him win it. And I think because of the way that he handles himself, you know, and I think when we talk about the greatest of all times, it's not just what you do on the pitch. It's also how you handle yourself off the pitch. And I think he's got everything as a true professional that young kids would look up to. You never hear any problems with him, gets on with his job, you know, supports charities, does his commercials. And I think if he won it, I think that would just be the icing on the cake for him to be the best ever.
I think if either one of them win it, it'll be that one. It'll lift them to number one. I really do. I don't personally think that's it. I think I don't even like to rank them both. I think they're just both two amazing players that we've been lucky enough to see in our generation.
They really are. I think it matters how they would win it, though. If it's like Peyton Manning, that Super Bowl with the Broncos, like people will remember, like, oh, he won the World Cup. But remember, they just carried him there. They just threw him on for 30 minutes or he got attacked by moths in the face and he wasn't going to make an hour anyway.
True. Do you think so? Do you think it matters? Or do you think as time goes by, they just see, oh, there's that picture of Messi or Ronaldo hoisting that trophy above their head and how they did it is kind of irrelevant?
I think it matters.
I think it will matter to an extent how they do it. Because if they just get, you know, thrown on there, they're not an impactful part of the team. If there's, you know, three or four guys in both sides have pieces that can really carry them there, and then it's just the photo op, I think that for some people will make it feel different.
Portugal, you know, have 10 Premier League players going, eh?
I know. It wasn't that long ago where there was none, right? There was no Portuguese players in the Premier League. And it's amazing that there's other guys there that don't play for Wolves.
Right.
That is actually quite amazing. Yeah. Yeah. But you know,
there's a couple injured, no?
From Wolves, yes.
Yeah.
There is. So.
And even not maybe particular picked. The young lad at Liverpool, he didn't get picked and he's now
he's
turned down. He's sulking a little bit. Well, he's like, are you not pick me? Yeah. Fine, I'll go play for England then.
That's Carvalho. Yeah. He said he let the Portuguese Federation know he's no longer available for Portugal under 21s.
Mm-hmm.
Which essentially means he's done playing for Portugal and he's been in England for 9 years, so he can't play for England. He wouldn't make England either, by the way.
Yeah, can he play for Canada? Is he available for Canada? Can I adopt him?
Charms, I was
probably he's young enough, he could be his dad.
I was seeing some Dunlop tears there. We were all tasting Dunlop tears there when you said he's not going to play for Portugal.
Oh,
I think there's a little bit of depth in that squad. I don't think they're going to be okay.
He's in the same age bracket as Rafael Leao, so he wasn't going to see much time.
You know how you were saying how many players for Portugal are in the Premier League, and I was looking at the numbers of players that are in England that are going to World Cup. And when you look at the table where Man City is and where United are, Man City's got 15 players going to the World Cup, and Man United's got 16.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Arsenal, handful, I think. So imagine that after this and World Cup, really how it's all going to pan out.
It could truly affect the second half of the season.
That's it.
It's incredible. I mean, I know Arsenal, like you mentioned, they're not as many players, but a lot of these teams are going to Dubai and across Europe this next month and playing exhibition matches. So it depends how well a certain team does, right? If Brazil or Argentina do well and go deep, then those players come back knackered. But if a team like England crash out early, it's going to bode really well for a Man City, for example. Or if Belgium crash out early, how great would that be? You know,
I think Arsenal still have 11 going. You know, I mean, if there's
a lot.
One in six players at the World Cup will be Premier League.
Is that what it is? One in six?
Yeah. Well, so there's a lot of MLS representatives in the World Cup. The biggest for sure. It shows where that league is going and the quality of it.
The biggest of any World Cup cycle, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. The most. Yeah.
That's apparently amazing. Apparently Bayern's got the most with 17
going. Is that World Bayern, Cup. Eh? Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder though if MLS is most represented because Canada qualified as well.
Yeah.
That could be what tipped the balance.
All of a sudden, yeah.
Because honestly,
There's more Saudi Arabian players going from the Saudi league, you know, than there is MLS. But I mean, what does that mean?
They're all on one team.
Right.
Or two teams, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So on that note, I mean, South America or Europe, you know, which continent do you think is going to steal the show at this year's World Cup? Or will it be in Asia or finally Africa? Will they have that breakthrough tournament? For me, I think it's still South America. I still have Brazil and Argentina as my two to pick. But what do you think, Craig?
Well, I really like Senegal, to be honest with you. But now Mane is injured. That's a big knock to them. Yeah. But they still have six Premier League players in their squad, even, you know. So anybody else in there from a surprise? Not sure.
Mane's traveling though, right? He's in the squad.
Yeah. He might be available in knockout rounds.
Might be available in knockout. They got to get out.
Yeah. He's worth taking a chance on, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
We're in a pretty fortunate group as well. I mean, not to dismiss Ecuador, who's, actually a very good team and could well get out of that group. Netherlands are who they are. They could be great or they could be terrible. And Qatar. We saw Qatar. They're terrible.
Yeah. Not the Gold Cup Qatar team that we're all expecting.
No, precisely. Maybe we should actually say the Gold Cup Qatar team was the Qatar team to expect, not the versus Canada Qatar team in a friendly, right? Maybe we're putting too much weight on that match.
Well, when they beat Ecuador 5-0 in the opening match on Sunday, then we'll all think differently when they play the Netherlands and probably lose by the opposite scoreline.
Well, that stadium, man, it's got a reputation, man. It's going to be a cauldron, isn't it?
It's got a reputation, long-standing reputation for big matches.
What do you think, B? Is it going to be one continent's going to be become the face of this tournament?
I kind of feel like the pressure is on South America as a continent, don't you think? Brazil and Argentina are both so heavily favored. There's so much expectation and weight on Argentina having finally won the Copa and this being Messi's last World Cup. I really don't think that this is going to be Ronaldo's last World Cup, I'll be honest. I think he's playing in 26, but I think this is Messi's last.
Not a chance.
No, I think he is.
But he's not getting picked.
There's more chance of Bojan being dropped for the Croatia game than that.
I think the reaction on Twitter was split, mind you. I think
was it really?
It may have been, you know, 60-40 more people agreeing with Craig and I than you.
Well, that's because they're idiots.
You always treat our loyal fan base.
Yeah, just I know.
These unwashed peasants.
Yeah. But yeah,
I really appreciate our listeners myself.
Well, I appreciate them.
As do I.
I mean, we're idiots too. We're all a big communal group of idiots. Do you agree, Jimmy? Is it going to be South America's tournament, do you think?
I think Argentina is going to the final, but I think a European team is going to step up and win it. whether it's France, Germany, England, Portugal, either Holland or the Netherlands, one of the two. We'll see.
I think it used to matter.
I don't know why you laughed there when I said either Holland or the Netherlands.
Oh, I had my mic off. I was laughing. I literally was laughing.
Who were the Dutch?
I caught it.
And where did the Dutch come from? Like, how many names do you want, man?
I was waiting
how many names do you guys need?
I was waiting for Wonger to jump in and be like, Holland? He's Norwegian. I didn't think he was there.
Hey, did you see them? Some low division club has put a tweet out today saying they've made the interest known into signing Haaland on loan next month.
Brilliant.
Superb. Great marketing. But whatever it costs to put the official bid in and send the fax over. Good on you.
Yep. It's brilliant.
Then
it's
you could turn to the fans and go, well, look, we tried. We made an effort.
Seventh tier. They play in the seventh tier. Yeah. Official 28-day loan bid. I love it.
How do you think you'd do in that league anyway?
300 goals.
He needs service. Without the service, Dobie.
Yeah.
He hasn't got...
Yeah, good point.
Silver feeding him.
Good point. As Jimmy said, you know, when we had Kaelin Kyle on and I talked about having scored two goals, having played with her, so obviously it was the service, which put me in that upper echelon of scoring form, right? So
it's all about the service, man. All about the providers. Yeah, I'm still with South America for this one. But at the same time, you know, Jimmy makes a good point with the European teams. I've totally dismissed England, actually. I think more than ever before, I've dismissed this team. I don't know why, because they were so good at Euro. But I shouldn't put too much emphasis on the Nations League. But usually I feel a lot better about England ahead of World Cups than I do about this group for some reason. Am I being unfair?
Is it that there's no forwards? That you only have two recognized number nines?
Maybe.
No, he's just trying to protect himself and his
emotions.
Emotions that when it does happen, he won't be so crushed when they lose in a penalty shootout in the last eight.
No, you know what happened? This always happens. So I'm kind of dismissing them, and then I see them in the national anthems, and they'll go along the line of the team, and I'll go, oh. Actually, this is pretty fucking good. They might just do it. And then they'll draw Iran 1-1. And I'll be just out, for Christ's sakes.
Will the anthem have the same effect on you, though, now that it's God Save Chuck?
Oh, that's a good point. Probably not. You're right. God Save the King.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. That's interesting. Yeah, obviously got that connection with Liz.
Sharms, your second team is England. B's is Portugal. I want to know Jimmy's, JC's and Craigers, who you're cheering for after England.
JC more than anyone.
I don't think, apart from JC, I don't think they would have one.
Oh, I do. I think England. I think it's England.
No.
Do you have one, Craig?
People presume England. I mean, I used to cheer for England because of the teammates that played in it for the England side, more so. But now it's like, yeah, I just want to see good football. I want to see a really good tournament. And we know it takes a certain amount of luck to win this. You get to that round of 16, the quality that's in there, we've seen it before. Anything can happen. I mean, if Greece can win the Euro back in 2004, anything's possible.
Do you have a team you don't want to see win then, if you're not going to pick a second team?
Portugal, because he works with me.
Can you imagine if Portugal won? Oh, Jesus, he would not shut the fuck up.
You guys would probably pay me out. That would probably be
that might be the moment. That might be the moment. I couldn't handle it. I don't know about you. There's no way. I couldn't. No. I wouldn't put up with it.
I'd be tapped out.
Jimmy, do you got a second team you're going to cheer for after Canada?
Yeah, do you know what? I've always had a soft spot for, obviously, England, just because growing up there and playing there. But then Argentina, I've always watched closely. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was a kid, I always enjoyed watching Argentina.
Mm-hmm. All right, JC, who's yours?
I have always had an affinity for Ghana because they made that little run. I forget which year, but I just think, and we were talking earlier, who's going to, like, which continent's going to surprise. But I feel like Africa since South Africa and then, but I just feel like Ghana's got, I like the way they play. Mm-hmm. But then other than that, it's got to be England because, you know, whatever.
Is your fingernails painted?
Two of them.
Is there a reason?
So it's a lot of, I guess, celebs are doing it. So it shows solidarity for children or victims of domestic violence.
Lucky I didn't take the piss there.
I was going to say, Jesus, you incensed.
That's a good cause.
Well, here's the thing. I live in Fort Erie, Ontario, and it's as nice as it is. They're not the most inclusive town. Mm. So forgetting that was the case. I get a lot of flack for, I went to the hardware store, look, hit your both fingers with a hammer. I'm like, nah. I mean, I'm like, yeah, actually I did, because I don't want them to be like, what are you talking about? And then, you know, but anyway,
Nah. You should respond to them by saying, oh, so I guess you support abuse of children.
That's it. Yeah. But you can't really get that out, because they'll be, you know, beating you up in the name of. Mm. You
know. Well, it's a very, I don't know what to say now.
Fair enough.
Which is often the case in the show in general. So
yeah,
it's the theme of the show.
Thank God we got that in for our World Cup preview. Hold on.
All right. Well, moving
on. What
do
you guys think of that, though, about the Ghana prediction? Like, I don't think they're going to go all the way, but like, what do you think of the African teams?
Well, Ghana had that big year, remember, of course, when they were killed by Luis Suarez and that handball, right, to prevent the goal, which is what was that 2010? 10, right? It was South Africa? Yeah.
We did the show.
One of the most controversial moments in World Cup history. And they were screwed. But that was a really good Ghana team. I think it was a much stronger Ghana team than this time around. I think this time around, Senegal is flying the flag, not to dismiss Morocco. Egypt might be the best African team, and they're not even there.
True. Yeah, I agree.
But I want to see them. I want this to be the World Cup where an African team makes some noise, right? Cameroon was everyone's favorite team, right? But never actually really made huge noise. Was it the quarterfinals or the last 16? I think it was. They lost to England back in 1990. I think the Roger Miller year.
Roger Miller, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a long time ago. But there's obviously great talent coming out from there. So we'll see. B?
African football right now is the strongest, I think, that it actually has been. However, it's not represented the strongest at this World Cup. With Egypt at home, and you know, I just think that you go through these rosters. There's a few kind of like star names that you know are you know elite, but the teams overall are not. Doesn't seem to be as complete as they were.
What's cool though, we're seeing ex players now managing African teams. It used to be the old European guys, Bora Milutinovic and these kind of fellas, right?
Yeah,
and now you're seeing Alio Cisse is a coach in Africa. Rigobert Song at Cameroon. Yeah, exactly. So I love seeing that. That's really important, I think, for African football when they start, you know, investing in their programs and bringing those former players back to actually coach those teams. That's how you get progress for sure. All right, moving on now. The Golden Boot, the favorites, Harry Kane at plus 800. Karim Benzema at plus 900, tied with Kylian Mbappe. Messi's at plus 1200. These are all North Star Bets odds, by the way. Ronaldo's at plus 1,400. Who's going to win this thing? Or will it be one of them, do you think, or someone else be?
Of all of those names, I think FIFA was trying to tell us something with their promo video. Did you see their animated intro? You're going to see it on all the broadcasts. I put it on my story, actually. And Ronaldo and Messi are there, obviously. But the biggest figure, like physically the biggest cartoon that they drew, is Kylian Mbappe. And I feel like the world is waiting for Kylian Mbappe to be as good as he was in 2018. Even if France aren't, I think Kylian Mbappe will be.
I think it might have something to do with the connection to Qatar and France and, you know, Platini. And,
well, I mean, there could be that.
You know, the voting and the gas
things. Yeah, you're right.
Contracts,
could,
you know.
Could be that.
So cynical, Craig. Wow.
Yeah. It's funny, though, the closing shot, I did notice that Messi is in the closing shot. Ronaldo is not. And Mbappe is twice the size of Messi.
Well, as an animated figure. Is, though.
But as an animated figure, there was no need for that. Is.
Oh, yeah. And Qatari's only Paris Saint-Germain. I forgot about that.
There's that, too. That might be a slight connection there, yeah?
Maybe.
You wait. When Olivier Giroud wins it, we'll all be surprised, won't we?
Yeah.
Kane's favorite because the English gamble so much, so they just want to, like, you know what I mean? They're gonna.
Well, he was also the Golden Boot winner in 2018, wasn't he? Six goals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, though, not based on form. It's based on how much money they expect to take.
I think so.
Yeah. That's why Ronaldo and Messi are there plus 1,200 and plus 1,400, respectively.
It's not going to be Ronaldo. It's not going to
be. Why? Not going to start? Or what?
I'm worried about that team. I am.
I know. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay. Well, you're going to be really worried in 26 when he plays.
Yeah. When they wheel them out.
No, that's the redeem dream. That's the redemption song.
Well, let's get to them now, actually. You know what? Forget it. Let's jump a question here, right? Let's get to Portugal. If that's an answer to this question. Okay, who is going to be the team that implodes at this World Cup, the one that falls apart off the field, or the controversies, the finger pointing, the arguments, the maybe someone pushes a coach, maybe a famous player gets sent home, and then we see him walking his dog like the next week, you know, and makes front page headlines a la Roy Keane back in 2002. Who's it going to be, Craig?
Well, I can tell you it's not going to be. It won't be Qatar. they'll be really well behaved, I'm sure. Saudi Arabia, perfectly well behaved. Nothing problem there. So nothing there. but you're right. It will happen somewhere. It always does.
I think there's one team that we're all thinking about.
Who's that going to be, Jimmy?
I'm going to say Portugal.
Hey!
Because they're starting off with a bang already.
Well, you referred to, Sharms, you referred to that video with Fernandez and Ronaldo, like giving each other the cold shoulder. That makes me smile.
Yeah, of course it does. I thought about you fuckers as soon as I saw Sharms tweet that.
In the shower? Was that in the shower?
Me thinking about you or this video? The video was in the change room.
Okay.
No, I don't do much thinking in the shower.
I know there's been comments since. Oh, no, it was nothing. You know, just hadn't seen each other or whatever. But when you saw that video, did you think, uh-oh?
I had that exact same reaction. Yes, I did think, uh-oh, because Ronaldo very seldomly shows a side of him that seems organic and not calculated, was my point, when the cameras are on. And that was the first time I feel like I've ever seen him crack in front of the cameras. Maybe it was like, oh, where he it was the first time in his life he realized Bruno knows where the cameras are too. And Bruno knew the cameras there, so he had to look cold. I'm trying to justify that. He had to look frosty.
But he looks incredulous, didn't he, Ronaldo? Like, what do you mean you're ignoring me, the great CR7, the most important person in Portugal? And you scumbag.
Well, I think
Bruno Fernandes, how dare you? That's what, like, he was just couldn't even contemplate the fact that someone wouldn't worship and drop to the knees and bow in front of him.
Maybe Bruno felt double crossed. Not only did you turn your back on our club and try and light it on fire while I'm still in the house, but you also did it with Piers Morgan instead of our countryman Pedro Pinto.
What
a backstabbing scumbag.
That's a great point. Are you saying that Piers was the wrong guy to be interviewed?
Piers is so hateable, isn't he?
I mean, that interview, maybe the two most hateable people in the world.
Could be.
Certainly polarizing, yeah.
Mm.
But it certainly worked. I mean, social media was lit up. I mean, Ronaldo has, 700 million social media followers? And he's like, you know what? You want to treat me like shit no matter what, rightly or wrongly? He's like, I'm going to show you what kind of impact I've got. I mean, there was 600,000 tweets. Like, it was just crazy how big it is. He's just so massive.
On this weird channel, right, that not many people watch, but they will now, right? Piers Morgan, whether you love him or hate him, there's a lot of pull on social media. Mm-hmm. And it comes out tomorrow, right, doesn't it? Wednesday and Thursday, I think, the actual interview. Wayne Rooney. Do you hear them?
You've already seen the meat and the potatoes. I like the Wayne Rooney one, though, when he's about, maybe it's because I look better than he does.
I didn't like it at all. Poor Wazza. Come on.
Piers set him up for that, though. Oh, Piers was pumping his tires. You know, dream boat. Oh, you're such a good looking man. That's got to be why.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, but they could implode, right? Who knows? Or they could win it. One of those teams. There's a few of those teams, aren't there, this year's World Cup? If everything goes right for Portugal, Ronaldo aside, I mean, listen, they are more than, despite what he might want, they are more than Ronaldo. They got some serious world-class talent there.
They do.
And they scare me a little bit, Portugal. They're a really good team if they can keep their heads together. But
They are capable of winning the tournament with or without him. If they figure out which one it is, because I think they have to pick one the longer the tournament goes.
Not an easy group, though, fellas.
No.
No.
Ghana, Portugal, Korea, Uruguay. That's tough.
Although Korea without Son is huge, right? I know he's on the squad, and maybe he'll be back in time from the facial surgery. But I'll tell you what, you know, if he can't go, that's a massive. It might be the biggest loss of any team at this World Cup, because with respect to Korea, who work really hard, really fit, decent players technically, they need the best player. And by far, he's their best player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That group's got 20 Premier League players in it.
Where are you finding this information? That's good information.
Well, you know, if you look around, you do some research, it's not that hard.
Did Wonger do
go on the internet?
Yeah. Oh, it's Wikipedia. Okay.
I did.
No, it's not. No.
So
no,
this is the team I think will implode, Charms. And I don't know if it's imploding. I'm just jumping in there. But it's going to be really nice to see the U.S. not get... I'd have them not even getting into the round of 16. So
no, I love the U.S. I want the U.S. to do well. I want Canada to do well. Costa Rica.
I'm cheering for Costa Rica, Mexico. I'm cheering for the CONCACAF teams except for the U.S. I cannot cheer for the U.S. No.
They do well. We do well.
Honestly, Wonger, Craig's
and
right.
The podcast actually does well, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But
edit that out.
No.
There was a producer at the television station I used to work at. I came in the night that the States lost to Trinidad. And this guy was a big soccer guy. And he was celebrating that the U.S. didn't qualify. And I looked
at him. Was this local Windsor? Local Windsor TV?
No. And I looked at him. I'm like, you're fucking kidding, right? And he kept celebrating. The States dead. I'm like, you work in this business. You work in this business and you're going to fucking celebrate. You fight for soccer here. You see the fight that we all put on. You've been in conversations and been dismissed. And you're going to fucking celebrate the States failing to qualify? You're a fucking idiot. I was so upset with him that was his reaction, because he didn't see that the numbers that the U.S. can pull, and the better the U.S. men's national team is, the better it is up here because of the perception that soccer is bigger than it's being treated.
I want them there. Of course I want them there. But at the same time, we're at a point now with Canada being in World Cups.
Yes, we are.
Where we have a genuine rival, and that's the States. They are our biggest rival by a million miles. And I would love to see them crash out on that merit, because they can't.
That's how I feel about it. And I know exactly what you're talking about, B, because back in the day when I worked at that same network you did.
In Windsor, the little Windsor
station? Yeah, the little one. The broadcast, local broadcast rights for the Toronto Maple Leafs was with Sportsnet. And what did Sportsnet want? Sportsnet wanted the Toronto Maple Leafs to get this close to the playoffs, come in ninth. And then because the Blue Jays started on April 1st. So you cheered. Literally, that's what they wanted, where the Toronto Maple Leafs, we all talked about it. Yeah. It would be great if they were back and forth with the Habs for eighth and ninth, and then they lose on the last night. And that's exactly what happened one year.
Yeah. And, that longer.
That. And we said that was the best thing for the Blue Jays, which was then a Rogers property becoming part of their family. So, as you know, it's so funny how you cheer. So I totally understand the U.S. comparison and getting that fandom and rivalry built up through osmosis through the U.S. I totally get that. But as Charm said, they are now a rival. I'd like to see them burn.
It's different now. I was just reliving an old experience there because it was fresh on the tongue. But yes, they can crash out in the group stages, as long as it's fiery.
Yeah, and they're only like 16th in the, like, they're, it's not like they're, is there an expectation for the U.S. other than getting maybe to the round of 16?
I don't think this time around. I mean, it's funny, before qualifying, yes. I think you look at that team and there's a lot of hype around the kids coming through the European teams, some solid, solid players. But qualifying really kind of just doused water all over it. And I don't think the fans are aboard the Greg Berhalter train. No. I think he's the guy under pressure. If they don't do well, he's gone, I would assume. Am I right there? Because there isn't genuine talent on that team, more than perhaps we've seen before.
I feel like they need to make the quarters for him to keep his job.
Well, the group's not bad, right? I mean, England aside, Wales and Iran, you think the States would think, yeah, we've got a chance against those two teams?
I would think so, too, especially since Iran's the only country that's not named their team at the time of recording.
What are they waiting for?
Well,
who's not alive?
There's a lot going on in the country.
There is a lot going on.
Well, they're the team to watch in many ways, aren't they? Because, I mean, the players are backing the people there.
Right. And so there's a lot of pressure on the coach to drop a lot of these key players, including their captain. So that this is why they didn't submit. Monday's deadline, FIFA's roster deadline, was Monday early afternoon our time. And they did not meet that.
But can you imagine being those players, like the position they're in? You don't back the government, the leadership, you're in trouble. You don't bat the people, you're in trouble. You're really bang right in the middle of this. These players stuck in a really difficult position.
But your family too, eh? If you're family over there still, like if you haven't got them off country, you're sitting there, you can't do anything.
Well, do you see, and moving to the politics theme here, Infantino has called on a ceasefire during the World Cup between Russia and Ukraine. I mean, the arrogance of the man is just appalling, isn't it? Not to mention, it doesn't make much sense because that would give the Russians time to actually, you know, dig in and organize themselves.
Yeah, the Russians are all for it.
Yeah, 100% they would be. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Give us time to think about this a bit more.
Get our soldiers out of Kherson.
Jesus Christ. Freaking FIFA. Anyway, who's going to win this thing, guys? Who you got?
Brazil.
Jimmy?
Either Argentina or France.
B?
This French team is an enigma, man. They could be better than 2018, or they could be worse.
Even with the injuries, right? Yeah, I agree.
No, I think Argentina's going to win. I do.
Wow. I have them as well.
Wow. Guys, you didn't know this, but I picked my pool, Dave DeCola's pool this morning. I have France and Argentina in the final, and I have Argentina winning.
All right.
Look at that.
And I flipped a lot of coins today. Yeah.
I tell you what, there wouldn't be, I mean, outside the Ronaldo faithful, there would be a lot of smiles on people's faces to see Messi lift that trophy. There really would. I mean, he's just so popular. JC, Ghana, right? Is that who you have?
Well, I mean, I feel Ghana's going to go quite far, but in the same group, the old H-bomb, I got to go with the original winners, and that's Uruguay. It's a real, I mean, they came out back-to-back, you know, in the 30s. I feel like they could really, it could be a huge upset. They're due, you know, there's a lot of the same players coming back from that 1930 team. So I feel like Uruguay's going to go all the way. Uruguay, all the way.
Even rhymes.
Nunes is good.
Well, yeah.
It even rhymes. Yeah. Well, you know, they're a decent team, Uruguay, that's for sure. And maybe Darwin Nunes will keep this form going and will boss the tournament and win the golden boot. And Luis Suarez will find some vintage form and Edinson Cavani will do what El Matador used to do and they'll win it. And surprise us all. It might be a surprise winner, right? It's a weird one this year. You never know. To Canada. No one mentioned Canada there, by the way, you freaking traitors. Which player, Jimmy, do you think is going to engineer the biggest move after the World Cup on this Canadian squad?
I think it would be Kone or Stekio.
Ooh.
A bigger move.
I think Stekio at the moment with his price tag is going up.
Oh yeah, it's going
quickly. Rocking so from where he's been and where he's going, like I think he's the guy.
Craig, what's his price tag right now at Porto? Porto?
Oh,
what's transfer market saying?
What is he worth on the market now?
Yeah, 20, like where does it?
I would say just playing the way we've seen him play in qualifying. If he replicates that the World Cup, even if they go 0 points and crash out, his January price tag is $45 million.
Jeez. But it's more what he's doing with the club than when he doing it for Canada. I don't think they get, like, if he does well for Canada, that's three games potentially, right?
This They're watching window, though, is my
Porto point. Games, and his Porto performances have been blinding, like really, really good. So,
but there's still a price drop, a discount because it's Portugal. But now you're talking about an international at the World Cup, and
so if they get out of the group and he's on, if they get out of the group and he's on fire and he's orchestrating things, he's gone for good money.
I said this and I wrote this when he committed to Canada and he was 21 years old, I think there wasn't a chance he would ever play for Portugal. Now, I think he's in this Portugal squad.
I do too.
I think he may even be starting.
Yeah.
For Portugal.
Well, according to Transfer Market, which is some big clubs actually use to evaluate their players, believe it or not, this is their main source. 8 million euros.
Oh,
he's worth more than that.
Jimmy's probably right in this economy in January.
I'm thinking between 20 and 30, 25 mil. Because if it's 8 million, somebody would have a sniff right now.
Yeah, that was 8 million before the last couple months.
Yeah. If it was 8 million, he'd be at Bournemouth.
He'd be somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think if he plays and he shows well, I think he's getting a good move.
Yeah, he's young as well.
I know there's some good clubs looking at him. I know Marseille's watching him as well.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching him.
That'd be a good move for him, actually.
He's only on 70 grand. I think he's made 70 grand at MLS this year.
Yeah.
I think he's up for a bit of a pay rise next year, wherever he ends up.
Wherever he goes.
There was the link to the Blades, right? I'm sure they'll be in for him again. There'll probably be some championship clubs that are hoping that they can win promotion and snap him up in January, and that's the big carrot. I would love to see him pull an Atiba route and go to Holland. I think that would be amazing for his development.
What about the Netherlands instead?
No, another, that,
no, I'll play for
the Dutch one.
Head to the lowlands or somewhere else.
I think France, to be honest with you, I think a good club in France would be a great stepping stone for him.
Yeah, makes sense. And
comfortable, speaks the language.
Did you see Ozo's been making the tabloids in England?
No.
Sun, the Daily Mail had an article. Yes. He's got an English based agent now.
Yes.
And talking about his hopes and you know, his, Wizard of Oz was the headline. OS.
Amazing.
And how he's being linked where he wants to move to England, and EFL clubs are sniffing around right now, and that might be the pathway he chooses. But he wants Champions League football as well, right? So maybe it'd be a move to Europe, you know, one of those a Club Bruges type of setup. But he's 30 now, right?
Yeah.
And that will scare off some teams, Jimmy. So what is the reality for Ozo if he wants to make the move to Europe at this point at his age? He's not joining a top four or five club in England, for example.
Not a chance.
No, but I think he could get a good club in Europe. Definitely think so. You know, 30, yeah, I think he's still got a lot left in his tank.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think with also the way that he plays, like a Spain would be great for him. Spain would be great. Just
he played in South America before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spain, I know side of the top seven, he's going to make more money in the championship than he is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Championship is that is one of the best leagues in Europe.
Yeah.
The second division is well represented at the World Cup as well.
But money wise, I mean, TFC have that DP spot open. He wants a lot of money. If he's going to stay here, he wants to get paid. His most recent contract was, I think it's over a mil, all things in, or close to it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's around a million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just over. Yeah.
Will he get that in the championship?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
More.
I guess he's a freebie too, right? There's no transfer fee.
Yeah.
So that helps.
That's a massive thing.
Yeah.
It'll be mixed in between a signing on bonus and what he makes weekly.
Here's the other amazing thing. Think about all these clubs in the championship that are looking at themselves as a brand just beyond the 30,000 seats in their ground. To have North America now paying attention to you, like now that this is added value for these Canadian players, right? I think that's what makes 30, but that softens 30 for him. That softens the age. The fact that he's a star international for his country.
Well, it makes this World Cup so important, right? For an Ozo, for a Kone, have a good tournament. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily advance in the group, but have a good tournament individually. And we know what that means in transfer markets. And who everyone's looking right now, right?
There'll be a few clubs hoping he doesn't have a good World Cup because they're already tapped in, you know?
Yeah, it could be. As long as he doesn't go to Birmingham City. If he ends up there, that'd be horrible. But he can go to
Sleeping
West
Giant. Brom. What are you talking about?
He can go to West Brom.
This is Aston Villa bias seeping through here.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have a Birmingham shirt with Ozo on the back within about the first week.
Give over. No, I would have some complimentary tweets about the player.
Despite playing for Birmingham City, Jonathan Osorio had a great game this weekend.
I would regularly refer to him as Toronto, Ontario's Jonathan Osorio.
All right. What are your honest expectations for this Canada? Who's saying that they're going to get out of the group? What do you expect, Craig?
Well, if I was sitting here and my life depended on it, and I was in the Middle East with a knife around my neck. I mean, if I was under pressure, I would say Canada wouldn't get out of the group. They're the weakest team in that group. But playing in that team and the confidence I have in that dressing room, I would think, you know what? Maybe Belgium beats us 8 out of 10 games. But on the 23rd of November, they're not fucking beating us. That's the attitude they've got. So I have belief.
Jimmy, what's your expectation?
What I think is, I think we'll get out of the group. I think we'll sneak out of it.
If I'm going to take your left nut, if they don't, would you say that?
Might be wait a second. Are you going to put the nut back in your bag?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he did offer it up to me, didn't he? Well, he didn't. He said if he had three.
You could take my right one, but not my left one.
Do you think my left one? Do you think like your feet?
Yeah.
It's who are they beating, Jimmy? Who are they beating?
I prefer my left one, so you can have my right one.
If they advance, who are they beating out of Belgium and Croatia? Unless we've got some crazy draws going on here.
I think a draw with Croatia, and I'm hoping that we beat Morocco. I think 4 points gets us out.
Okay. B?
They're beating Croatia, and they're drawing Morocco, and they're getting out of the group.
Wow. Two of you, eh?
Wow. If you were going to be bald like me, would you say that?
Yeah, put your hair on the line here, B. Would you?
I'll do another one. They're going to lose to Belgium by a scoreline of minimum 3-0, but it's going to be Hungary-Portugal at the last Euros. And for 85 minutes or something, it's just going to be Belgium knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door. Yeah. And you're like, is this seriously never going to happen? And then the faucet opens and the scoreline looks as it should. But the game does not look as the scoreline.
All right. All right. So we've got two advancing from the group, one not advancing. Wonger, what do you think?
In my pool, which I'm going to be spending $10 on, I have them coming out of the group. And let me see here. I think I even have them. I have them.
Winning all three games.
No, come on. Basically beating. All they're doing is that last game against Morocco, and they're beating Morocco.
So you have them coming out on 3 points?
No, they're tying. They're tying Croatia. That's what I got.
All right, JC, what's your who's coming out? Are they? Well, are they not?
I feel like it's going to be a reverse of 86. I feel like they're going to beat all the teams 3-0 and eventually go on to face. They're at least going to the semis.
All right. I love everyone's loyalty here.
I love over here.
Loyalty's impressive here. I think it's misguided. I'm kind of with Craig here in that I don't think they will advance. But this team, every time that they've set themselves a challenge in qualifying in a game where I thought they wouldn't get a result, they've got a result. They found a way. I think they'll do themselves proud. But in the end, I think they'll drop points to Croatia and Belgium, and they'll get points somehow, be it 1 or 3 against Morocco. That's my expectation. But hey, if I'm wrong, I won't be shocked.
Sharms, we all know you're quite thrifty, at least on the betting. What is your frugal? What are you going to in this pool we're doing? $10. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have them coming out of getting out of into the 16 or not?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
See? Why would he go against his actual belief when he's putting money on the line?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You never know where loyalty brings you, but Charms is a disloyal son of a bitch.
You never know. When I'm faced with that, when I'm faced with that choice on Dave DeCola's pool, when I'm faced with that choice and I'm about to make the pick, maybe I'll be lured over. My heart will take over. But then I'll look at the $10 that it costs into the pool, and I'll probably go with the brain.
That Footy Prime is paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, is this man whose name you keep mentioning, is he paying for this advertisement? Because I got Sammy Lasota over here, who's got a pool as well, and we've not spoken about him.
Oh, well, Dave buys pies, so that's the difference.
But Dave's been listening to us for, a long time, even before Footy Prime.
He's loyal.
We can't join every pool, right? I get off invites to so many pools, and I'm sorry. I generally don't do pools. I can't be bothered and cheap, but I can't enter them all, so I'm going to enter Dave's because Footy Prime is paying for it. And I like Dave.
Yeah. If Sharms loses that money, he's jacking his pies up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
The 15% off
is gone.
Oh, speaking of 15%, that's right. Now you mention it. If you're a Footy Prime listener and you enter into sharmsproper.ca, order your pies and put in Footy Prime as a promo code, and you see 15% off on orders over $60. In store as well, in Toronto and Pickering. Anyway, that's about it for the show today. Any final comments regarding the World Cup as we get set?
I thought we had dark horses.
Yeah, but I'm running out of time here. Okay, dark horses. Give me a dark horse, Jimmy.
We did already, didn't we?
No.
No.
Well,
give me a dark horse.
I want to hear Jimmy.
Serbia.
Ooh. Serbia? Ooh. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. If they're healthy, though, right?
They're due as well. Another team that's really due. Haven't really done it on this stage yet. B, who's your dark horse?
Oh, honestly, all the teams that we've mentioned right now, I feel like could qualify. Portugal could be a dark horse considering things right now. I think Morocco will surprise some people with performances. I really do think Morocco's a lot better than we're giving them credit for, which is why
Canada and Morocco are getting out of that group.
No, I didn't say that. I just feel like I wasn't prepared for this question. So
quickly, I'm gonna go.
Denmark. Uruguay for me.
Uruguay? Okay. And yep. So who's that, Craig?
Denmark.
Okay, Denmark. I'm going Senegal still. I'm still saying Senegal. Huh. I like Senegal. I hope they do well. All right, everyone. So we'll be back throughout the World Cup. We're on tomorrow, right? Is that right? Wednesday?
Yeah, well, depending if we have people in that aren't going to be in Qatar, depending.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
If someone's going to get on an airplane or not.
You're such a bastard. Anyway, that's Footy Prime, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. For those that are going to Qatar, we wish them safe travels, that's for sure. And we'll divulge more information on Wednesday night. Cheers for listening and keep on buying newspapers.
Follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening and back to the show. Oh.